For the rest of us, we're going to turn to our Bibles and that passage in Genesis chapter 29. Of course, it's continuing this idea that we have now running in the second part of Genesis, that the story is building, where those first number of chapters were very much the origin story in the beginning, how we came to be, how we came to be established. We're now looking at this same group of people becoming a blessing to the nations, not just to the nations around them at that time, but in God's divine purpose, being a blessing to all peoples of all times. Now, I've mentioned before about family trees. You're probably quite familiar with the idea of a family tree. Some of us know our family trees inside out. We can go back to maybe even the seventh generation of who we were and where we came from. Others of us may only know our immediate family or the family of this generation with third, second, first cousins. Some of us may not even care. And all we may be focusing on, because families are quite large, who are the immediate family. But what a family tree allows us to do is it allows us to connect with people from our past and with people in our present. It allows us in our minds to be shaped with the knowledge and understanding of where we've come from, what we did. Of course, what makes our family trees more complicated is probably what happened 70 years, 100 years ago, as family members moved away from Northern Ireland. They went to find a better life, probably, as it was told. They're now second or third generation members of our families living in America or Canada or Australia. We know about them from our parents or from our grandparents. And perhaps we see their Christmas cards and letters coming through in December. Every now and again, they write and let us know they want to come home. Of course, this never being their home, but to their ancestral home here in Northern Ireland. And so they will come and they will stay, and we will be more than happy to put them up and to put them to work in whatever our current homestead is. They will be entertained, no doubt, but of course we will be entertained by their little ways of doing things, the differences in culture that we're not used to. And of course, in the days we're living, it's easier to keep in contact with people across the waters. We don't have to wait on letters to come. We have emails, we have WhatsApp. And indeed, we don't even have to depend on the written word now. We can simply video call, and perhaps that's how you spent the first few months of lockdown, trying to reconnect with family members again and how they're doing in their different places. It doesn't matter how far our families are apart. We like to know who our families are. We take a sense of pride, perhaps, in the knowledge that our family is widespread, that is, they spread across the earth, that from one humble beginning here in a remote part of Northern Ireland, a family has reached particular places of the globe. Of course, that comes in handy when planning holidays, because as much as people avail of free accommodation when they come here, you know that you can avail of the same benefit whenever you go overseas, which of course, hopefully they live in a temperature that's 30 degrees and not in the 7 degrees that we enjoy. So we know the advantage. We also know the pride of family. Well, our family tree extends today, because it is to the family of Jacob that we're now being introduced. But of course, Jacob isn't going for a holiday. Jacob isn't simply going to rekindle the family ties. He's not going on a fact-finding mission to figure out who's who in his family line. Rather, Jacob is making a journey. He's going to his uncle's land in Paddan Aram, and there he'll meet family members that he's never met before. He's maybe only heard of them, and indeed, in the current generation, he probably hasn't even heard of them. But what he doesn't know at this point is this is going to be his home for 20 years. The other thing he doesn't realize is that the first girl he meets is going to be his future wife. And while he's in this foreign land for 20 years, God is going to be the one who's going to be working in him. He's going back to his homeland, the homeland of his parents, to learn who his God is. So the last time we met Jacob, he had that vision at Bethel, and he'd received the covenant promises. That very very real thing for him in this ladder or this staircase going up and down to heaven with the angels ascending and descending, and at the head of it was the Lord, who made promises to him that he would be the one who would take this covenant promise to the next generation. And as I've already said, although he doesn't know it at that point, as he leaves the promised land, he will be gone for 20 years. That's when he'll be back in Canaan. But what that is the fulfillment of verse 15 of chapter 28. And it's God who says to him, I am with you and will watch over you and go with you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. This turns out to be a twofold promise from God. It's not only the promise for now, but it's also a promise for the future, because 20 years he will come back to the promised land, he will settle, he will have his family. But then of course famine will come and the family will move to Egypt, but he will come back to the promised land. He will come back and know God as his God, who has never and will never leave him. So with the assurance of the covenant promises that will come through him to the next generation, we're told in verse 1 that Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. No more information is needed, that's it. We just need to know of the significant moment at Bethel. He leaves the promised land and he arrives in the land of the eastern people. Basically what that means is he crosses the Euphrates River. That was the land of the eastern peoples. Haran is mostly north of Palestine, so we can't really say that it's east of it, but it's north. But what it is it's east of the Euphrates. Now, if you remember back into the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, whenever things were coming from Babylonia towards Palestine, then it was referred to beyond the river. Well, now we're in reverse of that, because beyond the river is the land of the eastern peoples. These are the lands of the Arameans, as well as the people of Abraham. Remember, that's where they settled after coming from Ur of the Chaldeans, coming to Haran and settling there. And so as we move on in the passage, we are told that after reaching this place of the eastern peoples, he sees a well in a field. We aren't told where he is yet, but he sees flocks of sheep and their shepherds gathered around the well. Now, the author is detailed here and tells us that the well is covered with a large stone. And what this large stone did was it ensured the preservation of the well. It did two things in that preservation. You couldn't simply go around digging a well. You just couldn't do that. You can bore a well these days in a matter of hours. You just couldn't do that. It took weeks. They had to be deep. But also you couldn't have one a couple hundred yards down the path. They were spread out. So being deep and being far apart, they were a valuable commodity in this time and in this place. So that stone was placed on top of it to preserve life, that no animal or person would fall in. But secondly, it preserved the water source, normally a communal water source, as we will see. So we're told that these men couldn't move it because it was not the right time to move it, because not all the flocks had gathered in. So we now get our first bit of conversation in chapter 4. And we're told that it's Jacob who begins the questions. And he wants to know who these shepherds are. And they reply in verse 4, well, we're from Haran. So Jacob now knows that he's in the right place. But he wants to probe a little bit further, because remember, he's here on a mission. He's been given a task, and it's a twofold task. This was all Rebekah's plan to send him back to the home of her brother. And it's in verses 43 to 44 that we read this of chapter 47. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban.